read a great quote this morning from Soren Kierkegaard, someone I don't usually look for quotes from, but he put it this way. He said, "You say God made the world from nothing and that this is great. True," he said, "it is. But that God makes a saint from a sinner is even greater." I think there's a lot of truth in what he said. Abraham's an interesting example. Abraham lived a huge life. And I realize I'm going to be re-bringing up some things, but some people are here that weren't here a couple weeks ago. Abraham's life was enormous, and yet think about it. What was Abraham's occupation? He was a shepherd. He died a shepherd. How many shepherds do you know? People, at least people, you can think of David, but he didn't die a shepherd, did he? He died a king. Astonishing. Amazing. This man is revered, is honored, is respected by more people in the world than Jesus. Because Jesus isn't respected by Jews, but Abraham is. Christians respect Abraham. Muslims respect Abraham. They respect Jesus too, but Jews do not. Abraham really leads the league. And it's an astonishing truth about this amazing man. And yet, he was nothing. He was nobody. He was a shepherd. You can't name him, and yet there were probably hundreds, if not thousands, in his time. Who are they? Now, Paul, writing to the Romans, writes about this great man. And here's what he says. I'm going to go into Romans chapter 4, starting at the 13th verse. "The promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would inherit the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. If those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made empty and the promise is canceled. For the law produces wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. So this is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace, to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all in God's sight. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations.' Abraham believed in God who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. Against hope, with hope, he believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken, 'So will your descendants be.'" Now here's the amazing part. Here's the amazing part. Abraham considered his own body to be already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, but without weakening in faith. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, it was credited to him was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Jesus was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you turned the tide. You changed everything through this man Abraham and through his descendants. Open our eyes to your word. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham brought life where one could only see death. The book of Romans is interesting. And a few weeks ago on Sunday night, we went through it. We flew through it at warp speed. The book of Romans begins with death, doesn't it? In chapter 1, Paul talks about the sinfulness of man and how sinful man had become and how, in fact, man was doing that which was worthy of death. Powerful statement. And yet here, and all the way through, he talks about how man is sinful, the Jew was sinful, the Gentile was sinful, and we are all running headlong into death. But then in chapter 4, he starts to talk about Abraham, a man who was dead in his own mind. And he talks about a God who makes the dead alive. In verse 19, he said, Abraham considered his own body to be already dead. In Hebrews 11, verse 12, the writer says, Abraham was as good as dead, saying essentially the same thing. Now, what happened? Back in chapter 15, way back in chapter 15, God told Abram he'd have a son. Cool! You'll be the father of many nations. Very cool! Your descendants will be like the stars of the heaven. Can you count stars, Abraham? Can you count the grains of sand? That's your descendants. Fantastic! I have no son yet, so I'll wait. And wait. And wait. And Sarah brilliantly figured out that she was past childbearing. God must mean Abraham's supposed to have another wife. None of you ladies thought of that, did you? Abraham's supposed to have another wife and is supposed to have a child by this other wife. So, what do? They put forward the best human effort possible. And what happens to the best human effort possible? Train wreck. Beautiful. Good plan. And Abram is told in chapter 17 for the second time, you'll have a son. And Abram laughed. He laughed. Abram, you read about Sarah laughing? Abram laughed first. Where do you think Sarah learned how to do it? Where do you think she learned how to laugh at God? From the father of the faithful. There is something wrong with this picture. Men, do you lead your families? So Abram laughed at that, and God corrected him. Abram bounced back. Now he's 100. Sarah's 90. Ain't happening. But everything changes. See, Abram was a man with a dead-end life by every definition of the word. An imperfect faith. The wrongest person you could think of. Here's the message. Who does God call to do great things? He calls the unlikeliest person he can find. Hence, I'm your pastor. And I'm not joking. God calls the unlikely to do a task. And so if you're called of God, I assure you, it is no badge of honor. Uh-oh, God thinks there's something I can't do and He wants me to do it. Why? So He can show how great He is. Who is the one who brings to life that which is dead? God is the one who brings life from the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist, verse 17. And God made that promise. God brought life to a dead Abraham. And then what does it tell us at the end? Abraham is a picture of who? Jesus, who rose from the dead. This is Abraham's first hint at what resurrection means. Life from the dead. You know, folks, we Christians believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection with every cell in my body. Once again, I challenge two more atheists to show me the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, and so far they have said zip. They have no answer for me. None. So I've tried. But Jews believe it too. At least some of them do. And Abraham gets his first picture of resurrection. It's himself. He is the first photograph, the first snapshot of what resurrection looks like. Abraham, a man who deemed his body to be dead, brought life from that body. He deemed Sarah to be dead, life came from that. God fulfilled his promise. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, raised Isaac from a dead couple. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians. What does Paul tell us about you? In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says something else. And it's in your note. Part of it's in your notes, but I want to share the whole story. Dr. Harry Ironside was a pastor. He was known as the great illustrator. He had taken a bus, a church bus, full of kids to a park somewhere where they were having a church picnic. And he was getting away and sat on the bus and was reading his Bible. And a woman got on the bus. She was a fortune teller. She said, "Cross my palm with a coin, and I will tell you your past, your present, and your future." The brilliant Dr. Ironside opened his Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, and he says, "Madam, this book will tell me my past, my present, and my future. Let me tell it to you." Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. "And you were dead. You were dead. You were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And by nature, we were children under wrath, as others were also." What are you? A sinner. What am I? A sinner. What is everyone? A sinner. He says, "That's what we all were." And the lady said, "Excuse me, I think I'd better be going." He says, No, don't leave. Let me tell you my present. But God. Two biggest words in the Bible. But God, who is abundant in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in our trespasses. By grace you have been saved. What does he say salvation is? It's life from the dead. He also raised us up with Jesus and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in heavens with Christ Jesus. Well, the woman was extremely uncomfortable right now. She says, "I really have to be going." She says, wait, I have to tell you my future. Verse 7, "So that in the coming ages, Jesus might display the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." She ran. She ran away dead. Dead person running. We have just remembered loved ones who have gone ahead of us. I can't speak for any of them. There's only one person on this planet I can actually speak for. The only person in the world I know is saved is me, because I'm the only one who knows my heart. I trust most of you are, but I'm the only one who knows me. The fact is, since we only know about ourselves, I want to encourage you not to leave this building dead. Don't leave this building dead. If you're unsure that you know Christ as Savior, talk to someone. Many of us are here who would love to show you from the Word of God, not from our opinion, not from our church, not from our doctrine, not from a tract, but from God's holy Word, how you can know that you have eternal life. Eternal life. What did Soren Kierkegaard say? The greatest thing is that God makes a saint from a sinner. Because making a saint from a sinner is making alive someone who's dead.